So, Mayor Politis, you've reinstated a couple of boards. Tell me about it, please.
So the council's come in with a mandate, and everybody's fresh off of campaigning, so the mandate's pretty fresh in a lot of folks' minds. And a lot of that mandate revolves around engaging the community. We heard that loud and clear from the community throughout the whole campaigning process that they really missed being engaged and part of the decision-making process and driving those affairs. The other part of it as well is, in today's day and age, right across the country, it's difficult to get volunteers and to have volunteerism at the level that maybe your parents and my parents did in the past when it was really a social event. And so part of driving volunteerism is recognizing that you've got to give people more than just an opportunity to provide advice and to provide recommendations. People who are going to spend their time, especially folks that are working right now and who are really busy, but you got to give them more value to spend their time. So they've got to be involved in the decision-making process, the allocation of the money, those types of things. And we did that about 7 years ago in Cochrane when we first revised the whole approach. We went away from what are called advisory committees, which is what typically municipalities use. And advisory committees have no powers other than to meet, discuss, and provide advice to council. Then council would decide what they want to do it from there. And all the money that they generated would go directly to the town, and the town would decide what to do with it. And we sort of made a hybrid approach that the Municipal Act allows us to do, which is combine what are called community councils and local boards into this really unique model that was created that allowed the volunteers to come to the table to work with the department to oversee the department. So council is actually delegating some of its powers, which it can do through the Municipal Act, and it's not uncommon, but delegating some of its powers to this group. And so this becomes an extension of council. And the group has the power to, in this case, to generate the revenues and then to reallocate the revenues back into recreation, working with the department. So the way the CAO would typically work with council, Bob, this arrangement would be the department head would work with the board. And so it really is an extension of the whole council process. We believe it's a modern approach to how municipal affairs are looked at. You're really engaging the community again, benefiting from all the skills and experience that's in the community. You're attracting folks that are working right now because you're giving them more power and control. And this is not a new thing because, like I say, we started about 7 or 8 years ago in Cochrane and it got lost during the last term, and we're just reinstating that now. But the successes in our community were hard to miss. And the one point would be there was $110,000 actually in the account that is no longer there because when they went back to the advisory committee, the town and council took that money and reinvested it elsewhere. But that is evidence of how well this approach works and how good it is for the community. And the one final point on that is that this is really house money because it's coming outside of the tax levy completely. And the component of the mandate that we're actually addressing here is to empower the community to be actively involved in driving community affairs by providing modern vehicles that allow for the actual decision making, direct oversight, and engaged planning and services. So it's unique, but we've found a lot of success with it.
Yeah, so council is elected to represent the people, but this is giving them more input, more direct input. And
Yeah, so
I assume whatever they do is still subject to council approval.
so ultimately, it's a different approach, though. So what we do is we're adopting back-end controls as opposed to what are called front-end controls. So instead of having the five desks in the front that everything has to get through before you get something done, and that's all stop and go, stop and go, stop and go, and it's not really good for flow, we adopt back-end controls. So we delegate this power, but the power really is you're going to put the plan together, and you're going to come back to council once a year, just like the department does with the department. And you're going to propose your plan for recreation and special events for that year, and it's going to include all the costs and everything in there. And once it's approved, you don't need to keep coming back. It's approved, you follow the plan. If you go outside the plan, then you need to come back and have that vetted as well too, and vetted through the municipality. So nothing changes other than instead of having everybody come to the council, and that's hard in a small community with the councils that you have to try to drive all those affairs from the council table. You now have engaged the community to be an extension of council, and you're really creating a bigger pool of resources at the end of the day to drive things. And the real neat thing about this, Bob, is the people who are on these boards are the people who are receiving the service. Who better than to drive the service and the people receiving the service? And so in terms of the elected component of it, yes, the council is elected to represent folks, but we think we're actually holding that to a real high standard by engaging the community and providing them some power to make those decisions. The key point here, though, is we're not delegating all power. So this is not a pseudo council on its own. We're delegating specific powers to be able to drive those affairs, and we're thankful for it. We're looking at this group saying, you know what, thanks for being there for us, for being the resource that help us with this, so that you're better connected to the resource than a lot of us would be at the end of the day, and you're going to be able to make more impactful decisions with the department. Challenge for the municipality is they're not used to this. This is a very new approach. They're used to the approach of having the one person in charge of the department that drives things. And the theory we're looking at here is, well, we can have one person do that, and yes, they're skilled and so on and so forth, but wouldn't it be better to have a collective decision being made by the folks who actually drive the service? And isn't that a help to the department to be able to have those folks there to drive it? Because now they come to council, not on an island by themselves, but with a lot of power.
Yeah. You're doing the same thing for economic development?
Yes. So, and economic development is another key area, and it's a little bit different how we compose that, though. So where we would appoint folks to the recreation board that are recreation-oriented folks, the economic development board actually includes resource people from provincial government, federal government, funders, the North Clay Belt, those types of things, working together with the board who are the representation of the economic development throughout the whole community. So you're looking at people from the forestry side, the rail side, the mining side, the retail side, and you really have some really cool skills that are sitting at the table, and you're sitting with the funders, and now you have this relationship built with the funders. So as you're driving these initiatives, they're telling you as the experts, well, if you did it this way, you'd have more money allocated here. If you did it that way, or if you adjust this, or you do that. And then when we call them up, you know who we're calling? We're calling those very folks. You know, so it's already done. The relationship is built. Now you have those folks going on our behalf, arguing on our behalf for the money, which, again, it worked really well in the last term.